DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Well, what's on your heart today for Sunday?
You know, our Holy Father, the priest in one of his talks, said, have an encounter with Jesus. Every one of us needs an encounter with Jesus. You know, when I was in Africa, the bishop of one of the African countries that I was with, I asked him, I said, what does Africa need? He said, Africa needs Jesus Christ. And with this blood disease that's just causing tremendous fear, if you're a doctor, and you're in Africa, or you're in healthcare, Africa needs Jesus. What do you need to do in Africa with this scare? If you're in Beirut, and many of my family and relatives there, they listen to this podcast. If you're in Beirut, and you have a million refugees from Syria, what does Syria need? What do its refugees need? They need Jesus. If you're on the border in Texas and you see all these migrants pouring in to our country, trying to get away from war and famine and starvation, what do they need? They need Jesus. And you, as the disciple of Jesus, you need to give Jesus your 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's what the Matthew Gospel tells us today. And so, in the 14th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 13th verse, I just want to read this heart of Jesus for those who are suffering and in need. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a desert place by himself. The crowd heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he observed, as he disembarked, the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sickness. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and find food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for us to dismiss them. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, 5 loaves and 2 fish are all we have." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the ground, on grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven, blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. This event is so magnificent. If you notice what he told his disciples, give me what you have. So it's so important that we give Jesus what we have, even though it seems so little, and even though the task seems so great that he's calling us to do. Whatever it is that you're facing, if you have what you think is so little, you could be an archbishop right now. You could be a priest, whatever you think you are. If you have an encounter with Jesus, what do you have to give him? Recently, the Archbishop of Denver came, and he wanted to come and make an 8-day retreat. And it was really wonderful. Some people who saw him there said, you know, what are you doing? I'm praying. I'm bringing what I have to the Lord. Whatever you have, bring that to Jesus. Are you Jesus' disciple? Then bring whatever you have to him. I just love these days just meeting fathers. You know, Chris, just meeting Bruce, your husband. You fathers of families, what do you have? You know, Robert DeSanto, 7 children. John Kirk, he has 19 adopted children. What do you have that you want? Do you want, and your family needs whatever they, give me what you have. The disciples were told, feed them, do this yourself. But we have only 5 fish and 2 loaves. Give me what you have. Whatever that is, it may seem so small. But when you give it to Jesus, when you surrender whatever you have to him, all the crowds that need to be fed will be cared for. I had a seminarian. He made the 30-day retreat, and he was in deep silence. He was giving Jesus for these days what he had. And the magnificent experience, his last day of the retreat, he wanted to break his silence. And he asked me if I would call his mother. And this was the very last day. And I called his mother because he thought his mother and father would benefit by a retreat. And I was talking about the possibility of their meeting me at Broomtree when I was there. So anyway, I called. And when his mother answered, she burst into tears. His uncle had just died, the man after whom he was named, the seminarian. He had just died, and there was such grief on the other end. What he had, he was going to give to his family. And I was saying, he said, you know, isn't it amazing that when you receive such gifts, immediately it seems like there's such grief after? To the height of your consolation, so will be the depth of your desolation. And what do you have? Your family needs to know about eternal life. What you have been given has been so beautiful by Jesus. What you have now, you can give to your family. There was another one of the seminarians. He was on his apostolate, and he was going out. A seminarian, what do you have? And he was meeting this woman. She was 90 years old, and he just loved her. He would come back and tell me about her. And she was Jewish, and she just loved to see him come. His name was Jesus, Jesus. And she looked forward to his coming. She couldn't wait till he got there. And this one day, he was on his apostolate, and he went, and her room was empty. And she had died. And he come back very downhearted. His dorm moderator, the priest who was on his floor, said, she met Jesus before she died. She was Jewish, and she met Jesus. This same beautiful Jesus, he had made friends with a Chinese from communist China, and there was only one child policy there, and he always was looking for a brother. When he came and he met Jesus, when he met Jesus, he was just so thrilled because the brother he always wanted, he found. He used to go in to worship before the Blessed Sacrament, and he would kneel there and be with Jesus and look up at the host. And he began to have these experiences over the summer of prayer. He met Jesus. He met Jesus. What do you have? Are you a poor seminarian? Whatever you have, if you give it to Jesus, the most magnificent things can happen. Not too long ago, I was at a funeral, and I remember this family was very grief-stricken, particularly this mother, and she was quite elderly. You know, she always thought she would die before her children. But she never said, you know, I wished I would have been me. But she just suffered the grief of the loss of her daughter. Her daughter was kind of a Magdalene figure. There at the funeral was at least two men who were her husbands in the past. And she had quite a story. She had left the church for a long time. And I remember meeting her as her death was coming on, coming back to the church, going to confession, receiving communion, anointing, and actually being well prepared to die. And she died a very beautiful death. Unbeknown to me, at the funeral there was this woman, a lovely young woman who was there, and after the funeral, she approached me and she said, could I speak with you? And I said, sure. She said, you know, that woman was my birth mother. And I would love to meet her mother because that's my grandmother. And the woman was a black woman. And the woman who died was a white woman. And I said, have you met Jesus? She said, you know, the parents that adopted me have brought me up as a Christian, but I myself have a very close relationship with Jesus. Jesus has always meant so much to me. I said, I'm sure that I could be able to arrange the time and place when you can meet your grandmother. Well, not too long ago, in fact, very recently, I was having Mass with the grandmother. And I had shared this with her other daughter who met her and had gone to another city to meet her. And she invited her in for her mother's birthday. And while we were celebrating the Eucharist, I was having the Mass, I was mentioning about her loved ones. She was a widow. She had mentioned her husband who had died before her. And then she cried and cried. She said, you know, this is the one that I just wished I was there to be with her when she died. Just to take care of her. She wasn't able to because she was sick at the time. The mother was. And she said, oh, just to have something of hers to know. And we prayed. And as she was grieving the loss of her daughter, I said, you know, there is some way that you could have something very dear that belongs to her. And she said, who would that be? I said, her child. And I introduced her that day to a grandchild she had never met. The granddaughter looked so much like her mother. And it was so beautiful as she hugged the grandchild. And her daughter wasn't here wonderful gift behind for her to hold. How many blessings that we receive when we have Jesus. She had just received him at Mass, Jesus. She had just prayed for her daughter who was dead. And now she met her granddaughter. A splitting image of her daughter in her grandchild. When we give Jesus what we have, Jesus gives us everything. St. Paul writes in this beautiful, beautiful letter of his, the letter of St. Paul, as I'll read it to you from Romans. Brothers and sisters, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? No. In all these things, we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Holy Father has asked us and invited us, every one of us, whoever you may be, bishop, priest, layperson, whoever you may be, old or young. I have a beautiful relative of mine. Oh, she so wants to marry, and she has a desire. She really feels a calling, and she's in her early 30s now. And she has come to the conclusion in prayer, because she has really met Jesus in her desire, I'm ready for this marriage. The one I'm supposed to marry is not ready yet. But I know when I meet him, he'll be the one I want to wait for. He will know it, and I will know it. Why? Because Jesus has told me so in my heart. When you meet Jesus, in your encounter with him, he was always leading you. He is the one who leads you into peace. He is the one who leads you into life. He is the one who is your Savior and your Lord. When you have him, you have all. Whatever you have, if you have desires only, give them to him. All he wants from you are what you think are so insignificant. Your 5 fish and 2 loaves. And they will feed a multitude. In the readings for today, what is that that is really Jesus? It's that which is spoken of in Isaiah 55. Come to the water. Who is the water? It's Jesus. Jesus is the one for whom we thirst. Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsting, come to the water. You who have no money, come. Receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread? your wages for what fails to satisfy. Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits that were promised to David. God is ready to give you everything if you will just come to the Lord. Jesus is the one to whom we have been invited today. Come to the Lord and drink. He is the one for whom you have been searching. The crowds went in to the desert to find him. Their sick recovered. And whatever is going on in your family, come to the Lord. Bring whatever that is to Jesus. This morning, come to the Lord, no matter how poor you think you are. And especially those who think you have a lot of money. So many people who have a lot of things are so empty inside. And so if you come with your hearts that are like dried up, come. If you come to Jesus this morning, how he is going to take those dried up hearts, those dried up fish, and those stale bread crumbs, and how he is going to transform you. Through whatever you give him, he is going to feed through you a multitude. If you give him what you have, notice what he did. He took those fish and loaves from the disciples. He blessed them and he broke them. And then he gave them back to the disciples for them to distribute. And it was through them, again, that they were able to feed the multitude. So it will be with you. If you bring whatever you have, through you, he will choose to feed. If you keep them for yourself, you're not going to be able to do very much with them. Come to Jesus. Take the invitation that our Holy Father offers you, whoever you may be. Do you have nothing on your own? All you have, even that which you really have, will not satisfy the ones who are going to come to you. But if you give them to him, that's a movement that's in your heart. Come to him. Take the invitation. Have the encounter with him. Something magnificent will happen. Before you go out to give what you have, come to him. Every morning, every day, no matter who you are, if you're a priest, don't start the day without coming to him. That may sound strange. You may go to Mass, but you may not have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You may be an archbishop, but you may not have this encounter. Once you have it, once you turn over whatever that is that you have, before you begin your day, fathers, mothers, young people, children, whatever that is. If you're 12 years old and you're a little girl, what do you have? Give it to Jesus at the beginning of your day. And he will transform your day, so that day will be so joyful for you and your family.
Monsignor, yes? Do we make a mistake sometimes when we think that we want to give it away, we want to do things for Jesus and be Jesus, but because we haven't stopped to encounter him, that we end up becoming very busy doing what we think we should be doing. And we're not doing what he wants. It's not something that we can plan, is it? I mean, can you help us with what it seems like a paradox?
If in your heart you have not heedfully, notice the word, it's right there in Isaiah, and he wants us to come to him. When he tells his disciples, you give them something in their frustration, that we only have this. Well, then give them to me, he says. There was this intentionality, there was this inner movement. Without me, you can do nothing. Over and over again, Jesus is telling his disciples, I am going to be the difference in what you do. But if your first movement is to come to me, then through me and with me and in me, you will do great things. But without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the very center of who I am and what I do. So often that we just rely on ourselves. I will do this for you, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you can't do that because you really don't have anything without. I gave you everything. I want you to give it back to me so then I will give it to you so that you can give it to others.
Isn't it true, Monsignor, that so often, especially with this particular gospel story, the telling of the great miracle that's in all the gospels, actually, of the multiplication of loaves, that recently, for some, it has been preached that it isn't so much the miracle that happened, but the fact that everyone shared, that everybody ended up sharing. That was the miracle, and that's how everybody had. The big difference here from what I hear you saying is that the miracle happened because they went to him first and they gave that to him. And a miracle happened, I mean that it actually happened. Miracles can happen if we go to him first. Is that an overstatement?
No, that's right. Without him, mankind had themselves all the ages before him. And mankind is trying to do things all the ages after him. But without him, nothing happens. Before him, there was no salvation. The only one who came into the world 2014 years ago is Jesus. And through him, and with him and in him, that the central teaching of our faith is through him and with him and in him. And Paul talks about him, what that is, and in Romans, but in all the scriptures that leads up and teaches us about Jesus. The 45 books of the Old Testament and the 27 of the New Testament tell us the centrality of Jesus. Jesus is the message. Jesus is the center. To try and do anything without him is to go back into the ages of darkness. Without him, there is no salvation. In him and through him and with him. And the Holy Spirit has been gathering the whole world, leading us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will gather all of mankind, all of Asia, all of Africa, all of Australia, North and South America, all of Europe, everyone in the world to Jesus. Jesus is the center and core of every human heart and the whole world. That's what this gospel is saying. Whatever you have, give it to him. It's saying really what every other page of scripture tells us. Jesus is the center of all of history and all of mankind.
Final thought, Monsignor.
Come to the water. Come to the water and drink. Why spend your money on what does not satisfy? Come to the water without paying and without cost. Isaiah invites us. Paul teaches us that persecution, nor suffering, nor ages, nor angels, nor whatever can separate us from the love of Christ. Jesus is asking so humbly, and his heart this very day is moved for the sick, for the suffering, for those who are really in need. Our world needs Jesus. This morning, let us come no matter how poor we think we are. So many are preaching doom and damnation. His heart is moved with pity for the entire world of suffering. He is longing to give us everything. Let us first give what we have to him. Let him bless it. And then let him give it back to us so that we can distribute it for the salvation of the world. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.